brachot and klalot are offered to Am Yisrael in this week's parsha. The blessings to Am Yisrael are offered to them from Har HaGrizim, and the klalot, chalila, the curses, the consequences, should Bnei Yisrael opt not to follow in the ways of the Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu kiviyachol, are offered on Har Eival. Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal points out that lichora, at first glance, we would be prone to assume that Har HaGrizim, the mountain that is donned with all of the brachot, that has or contains the elaborate promise of a future to Am Yisrael, certainly would maintain greater attribute and represent a future, a bright vision for Am Yisrael. Yet, in the same parsha of Ki Tavoh, prior to Am Yisrael's entry to conquering Eretz Canaan, Moshe is instructed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take two large stones, perhaps boulders, representative of the Torah itself, and to write, according to most Rishonim, the entire text, and transcribe it or etch it in stone, and to place these stones on Har Eival. According to the Ramban, he classifies this entire instruction as b'ma'aseh ha'nisim, because the Ramban's understanding is that indeed the entire text of the Torah was written or engraved on these stones. One wonders how exactly the stones were large enough to retain the entire text, yet the Ramban says that was miraculous, that the stones contain the entire text of the Torah itself in all of the details, all of the intricacies, all of the descriptions. And yet Rav Moshe points out that what is most strange about this entire episode is, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu instruct Moshe to place these two stones, presumably as figures of inspiration for Am Yisrael not to despair, to continue and to urge forward towards conquering Eretz Yisrael? Why place these two stones on Har Eival? Har Eival is the mountain which was donned with klalot, with curses. One would have thought that it would be more appropriate to place these stones representative of the Torah on Har Grizim, the mountain of bracha, the mountain of blessing. And Rav Moshe explains that both the concepts of bracha and klala, blessings and curses, represent really the attributes of man as well. A klala, a curse, why is something cursed? Because that particular thing represents a lack of completion. A klala, a curse, represents the fact that something needs to be rectified, and therefore it is far from its wholesome and complete state. As opposed to the concept or the attribute of a bracha, a blessing, representing something which indeed is wholesome and complete, representing a bracha, a blessing, is something that is virtually reached perfection, something which is in its entirety, and therefore represents indeed a blessing, a bracha. Rav Moshe explains, when it comes to Torah learning, the only way for a person to succeed, the only way to ensure success with regards to growth in Torah, is when a person feels that they have not reached perfection. The moment that a person feels that they are wholesome, that they are complete, that they are a finished product, if you may, with regards to Torah, spirituality, and religiosity, that itself turns in from a bracha, or the potential of a bracha, turns into a klala. It is a curse. It is detrimental to that person's development, and certainly it is counterproductive to that person's capabilities. And therefore, the Torah intentionally said that the text of the entire Torah should be placed on Har Eval, the mountain which was representative of Klala. Not Chalila, says Rav Moshe, that Bnei Yisrael should be cursed, but rather representative of an expectation. V'nireh pashut, says Rav Moshe, ki bracha hu ribui v'histapkut. A blessing can represent satisfaction. V'klala hu chisron, shehu me'ira. Chisron be'ein mistapek. A klala represents something which is lacking, something which is missing. I long for more. V'hine kishashem yitbarach noten la'adam harbei ad shemistapek mizera yashu tzadik v'roi lekach. If a person receives only brachot, he heeds only success, he feels that he has indeed reached perfection, and therefore this is impediment to his completion, to his development, hu klala, it becomes a curse. Sheha'adam nivra la'asot kol ha'et b'torah u'b'ma'asim. Because, says Rav Moshe, man was created for the purpose of developing, learning for the sake of production, for the sake of performance. V'lo yistapek b'meh she'asah ela yarbeh v'yarbeh. Therefore, man can never be satisfied with who he is or what he represents. Yet he always has to look for new ways to strive and to yearn for earnestness in order to produce more. The Gemara says, "Ein haTorah mitkayemet ela b'mi shemashpil atzmo aleha." The Torah can only be long-lasting, can only be everlasting in someone who yearns to strive for more, someone who feels that he is broken, that he is incomplete, that there is so much more that he can produce. And therefore, yes, says Rav Moshe, it was quite appropriate that these stones with the text of the Torah would be placed on Har Eval, the mountain of Klala, representing that we have to yearn and strive in order to arrive, in order to make, in order to produce the fictitiousness of the bracha, the blessings of what the Torah has to offer. The truth is, Rabotai, that this really is the same concept of tshuva. Now we are immersed in Chodesh Elul, approaching only another week and a half, 2 weeks to Rosh Hashanah. This Motzei Shabbat, we begin saying Slichot for the Ashkenazim. And the truth is, the concept of tshuva is one and the same. We stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu during Vidui, and we say, Hare ani kichli male busha. I am an incomplete vessel filled with embarrassment and degradation. I am longing and yearning to rectify myself. Only someone who feels that he is incomplete, only someone who yearns for more, can truly arrive at the gates of tshuva. She'ein anachnu tzadikim lomar lefanecha tzadikim anachnu velo chatanu. We cannot stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say we are tzadikim, we are righteous, we have not sinned. No! Aval anachnu v'avoteinu chatanu. All of us are guilty of sin. All of us need to rectify our behavior. All of us are longing and yearning for ways in which to produce a greater and healthy rapport with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This past week I had an unbelievable experience. One would think that it's strange for me to call it insightful. My son Yaakov was asked to leave the yeshiva for a day. He was talking, misbehaving in one of his classes. He's in 8th grade. So he was asked to leave the yeshiva for the day. They want to put their foot down and show at the beginning of the year that they mean business. So unfortunately, part of his being my son is that he inherited my genes, and therefore he's already misbehaving in class. Well, having said that, the Rosh Yeshiva told him he has to stay home from school, And what he has to do is he gave him some parts of the Sefer HaChinuch to go through certain mitzvot, to learn the text while he's at home. So it shouldn't be just be a day off, but a day rather immersed in rectification, in tshuva, in repentance. Well, the first, when I talked to him about what he had done, and I explained to him that it's wrong to talk during class, that it's not derech eretz. I got the classic excuses of an eighth grader. But other boys were doing it also. I wasn't the only one. I only said one word. I didn't say it that loud. I didn't mean to disturb the teacher. In other words, there was a complete lack of understanding that what he had done was wrong, and lack of recognition that he wants to rectify his behavior. Well, sure enough, the next day I made sure that it wasn't a day off. Not only did he go through the text that Rosh Yeshiva gave him, but I gave him also texts in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch to write up and summarize all the halachot of Mora Rabcha Kamora Shamayim, Derech Eretz to a Rebbe, Derech Eretz to a teacher, not to disturb during class, that he should understand, and that he should be able to incorporate that behavior to appreciate what he did wrong. And the same day, I also had him build our sukkah, which was good for me, and I imagine it was good for him, probably a lot better for me, but nonetheless he built the sukkah, and therefore there was a spiritual experience. And finally we capped off the day with him reading from a book that he got for his bar mitzvah, a book called Amen, on stories, innuendos, anecdotes about tefillah, the power of prayer. And he had to read 22 pages from that book as well. Well, I felt that it was a rather productive day. As a matter of fact, you'll excuse me for saying this, it may well have been more productive for him to be at home than to be in the yeshiva. Perhaps not. But having said that, I was wondering to myself, was this internalized in the experience that he had? Is it something that now he appreciates and that he learned from? Well, about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, he got a call from his Rebbe. His Rebbe is a wonderful, wonderful man, an absolutely fantastic teacher, and a true example of Derech Eretz. His Rebbe called him up, and he spoke to him for a while, and Yaakov got off the phone. I said, "Why'd your Rebbe call?" And Yaakov told me that during the week, every day during lunch break, all the boys go to eat lunch in the Chadar Ochel in the dining room. They have or they pay for lunch. Yaakov brings lunch from home. And so he sits in his classroom and he eats. And his Rebbe, seeing that he was sitting there eating, asked Yaakov to learn with him Bechavruta, a Sefer Musar, for 10 minutes during his lunch break. Every day, my son, the Shovav, the troublemaker 8th grader, sits for 10 minutes of his own free time, out of his own volition, and sits with his Rebbe immersed in learning Musar for 10 minutes during lunch break. To me, not only was I, of course, impressed with the Rebbe that he's willing to give of his time and sacrifice his own free time for my son, but I was most impressed that this young man in 8th grade, out of his own desire, was makdish, designated 10 minutes of his time, when he could be playing ball, having fun, socializing. He took those 10 minutes every day out of his lunch break to learn Torah. And I felt very, very invigorated, very good, very positive. But I still wondered, did Yaakov truly internalize this experience? Did he understand at this point what he had done wrong? That evening I spoke to his Rebbe, and I thanked him for what he did, learning with my son and calling my son the day in which he was not allowed to come to the yeshiva, to even learn with him the 10 minutes on the phone during the lunch that Yaakov was having at home. And I said to his Rebbe, but I wonder whether or not Yaakov understood what he did wrong. And his Rebbe said to me, Yaakov said to me on the phone while I was talking to him, of course he didn't say this to me as his father, but he told his Rebbe, which is what counts, I suppose. He said, "You know, my father explained to me what I did wrong. At first I didn't understand it. But now, having spent the day doing what I did, I do understand that what I had done is wrong and was a lack of derech eretz." Do I kid myself, Rabotai, in thinking that my son is perfect and that everything is honky-dory and he'll never make a mistake or even be asked to leave the yeshiva another day? It's possible, yes. I don't kid myself. I'm sure that he'll still misbehave from time to time if he's anything like his father and good at it. But having said that, I thought to myself and realized that at that point, there was a message that was so poignant, so powerful, that my son internalized. The concept that tshuva is not merely going through the motions, but it is a desire expressive of the need to transpire, to morph into a new being, to arrive at a realization, nay, even a revelation, that I want to be a new being, that I want to change who I am, that I am not perfect, that I stand with stones on Har Ebal. Why? Not as a statement that I'm prepared to be cursed, but as a statement that I am imperfect, and therefore I desire to change myself and to be a new being. In this week's Parsha, the Torah says in Perek Chavtet Pasuk Gimel, "V'lonatan Hashem lachem leiv ladat ad ayom hazeh." What exactly this means is very difficult to understand. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't implant in man a heart to understand until this day. Having said that, the Meshech Chachma Rav Meir Simcha Medvinsk decided to comment in his last point of commentary on this week's Parsha, on this Pasuk, Hayom Hazeh, on this day, says the Meshech Chachma, V'chein B'Milchamot HaYetzer. So it is with regards to our struggle with the inclinations that we have. Ha'ikar Kiyiya Hit'orerut L'Tshuva Meha'adam. The main essence is that man has to arrive at a certain amount of revelation, inspiration to return, to repent from himself. And then, after man takes those initial steps, HaKadosh Baruch Hu kicks in. HaKadosh Baruch Hu assists him. And all of the people that someone might have slighted during the year, if we don't necessarily have an accounting of who they are, heck, there could be so many, it's possible that we lose count of how many people we insulted. Hashem Yitbarach Noten Biliban Shim Chululo. God will allow those people to forgive you. V'chein Hashem Yitbarach Ozer Lo La'asot Tshuva B'chol Efen. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu assists that person to arrive at penitence, to arrive at repentance, and he assists him in such an exploration. Which type of person? The person who says, I am aware that there is a klala, I am aware of my actions, and I have a desire to transpire into a new human being. Mishemashpil atzmo alea, someone who feels that they are far from perfection, but nonetheless search for ways to arrive at the bracha, at the hara grizim, at the pinnacle of blessing. That person will be zoche mirtz Hashem to be chozer betshuva, to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to appreciate the words of Torah etched in stone. V'chein yehi ratzon aleinu, so it should be the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu upon us. B'meirah b'yameinu, amen. Shabbat shalom.